Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome. Welcome indeed to book, chapter, and verse 123 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio exclusively here on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network. Also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch can be found at crmw.net. That's Coal River Mountain Watch at crmw.net. I encourage you to stop by and have a look at what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your today. Today, in fact, being March the 11th. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time on March the 11th, you're indeed listening to a live show, and you should feel free to call in and participate. I'll be giving out the toll-free numbers and the toll numbers in just a few minutes. You'll find the show site at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. Excellent. Just checking a note from production. You'll be, yes, you'll find links there, by the way, to all of the guests. You'll find links to the audio archives from the past shows. You'll find links to the chat room, which is active as I speak. Tonight is a good night to join the chat room if you've not been there before. It's an amazing place with the Internet's smartest and most informed people. There's always a rolling post of all of the shows on the Head On Radio Network there. You'll find posts related to what the hosts are talking about, what the articles are about. You'll find links to the guest sites posted there. A fun place to be. And in fact, if you're listening to any of the shows on Head On Radio Network and not participating in the chat room, you're indeed missing an interesting aspect of the show. Of course, if you're not listening live, you are listening to one of our streams. Many of you listen to these streams on a different time schedule that fits your own, which is, of course, wonderful. We're glad to have you in any way you can participate. And the links to those shows are strictlyconfidentialradio.com. I'm also glad to say that the links are now all fixed and running beautifully over at White Rose Society. So you can find them at White Rose Society with Ben Birch, and who's an asset to this program, and also at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com also to the Head On Radio Network main site. And there you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on this network. I am a very small part of it, but I am glad to be a part of it. You'll find links there also to Strictly Confidential's MySpace page, and there are links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. And speaking of music, our gay bar across the street, sometimes called God's Little Gay Bar and sometimes called the Paradise Dance Hall, the DJ tonight will be the world's most dangerous yet somehow lovable DJ, Mr. Larry Sanders. Larry Sanders will be providing one of our break tracks tonight also. It's a preview track, actually, of a cut that will be on one of the future Sandpiper releases. I will surprise you with that and run it later. But you can find all about that at morningstarmelody.com. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877-443-2366. And if you have unlimited long distance, you could use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. That's area code 304-658-3333. That rings in good old West Virginia on a mountaintop somewhere in an undisclosed location where we keep the studio tucked safely away. That's area code 304-658-3333. 33 if you have unlimited long distance. If not, we are more than happy to pay for the call, and that's 877, the number 4, head on. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and you can participate in any way you like. You can email, or you can call, or you can join us in the chat room. We are glad to have you participate in any way that you choose. Where shall we begin? So many possible places to begin this evening. Oh, tonight is a Just Us show. We've needed a Just Us show for a while. We were down last week due to the internet problem from hell, which is, it cleared up at least at this location. And although some people in this particular neck of the woods are still experiencing a few problems, thank goodness it's cleared up here. It was like going back to the horse and buggy days from many a year ago. Put my glasses. There we go. I'm a new man. I can see now. I want to begin this evening by telling you about a guest that I'm having back. She'll be reappearing on the show. She'll be coming back next week. In fact, next Wednesday. This was a controversial guest. It was Bonnie Kay. If you recall, Bonnie Kay was on the show her topic, her area of expertise is gay men who marry women pretending that they're straight so that they can have all the benefits and features and of a heterosexual marriage, yet sleep with men on the side. They often pretend to be straight, and when they're caught in it, they pretend to be bisexual. One of the reasons that this particular program we did in the past was controversial is that Bonnie had a fairly low estimation of the B in the LGBT rainbow. She seemed to feel that people were either gay or straight with nothing in between. I, of course, know better than that now, having been doing this show for, since June of last year. I've talked to so many people and heard such wonderful life experiences that, in fact, yes, my friends, there is a variation between, and there are indeed bisexuals. They are not just men who are really gay pretending to be straight because they're afraid to admit they're gay. However, many of the men that Bonnie Kay has come in contact with are in fact gay and pretending to be bisexual. And this is unfortunate. Bonnie Kay's experience upset some folks. It upset me too. But nonetheless, I have to look at the other side of the coin here. Now, by the way, Bonnie joined us, I guess 2 or 3 weeks ago, with a co-guest, and that was Dennis. Now, Dennis is a gay man who was the outside partner a gay man married to a straight woman who has an outside partner. Dennis was the other man, in other words. So, indeed, Dennis was injured by this, too. Now, the reason that I'm having her back is quite frankly, it's the emails that I've gotten. I've gotten a number of emails from women who were very, very touched by the show and, in fact, benefited from the show and learned some things about resources that are available to them and indeed found out that they were not alone, that they are not the only straight woman to be married to a gay man who's sneaking around behind their backs. Now, I can share one of those letters with you, and I'll read a portion of it, but the other letters were from individuals who did not give me permission to read them on the air, but I will read this particular one. I'm one of the thousands of women Bonnie Kay has helped out of a marriage to a gay husband. I was married for 28 years, and I've known Bonnie for those years. She's literally saved my life. This person who writes this mail is sure that this program, the program that Bonnie was on, will help other straight women married to gay men. And judging from the other emails, I believe she's right. I can give her name. Her name is Jody Marshall, and Jody points out that one of the topics not mentioned on the program was that many women have been in marriages for a long, long time to successful men, and these women have been stay-at-home moms, and so they have a huge problem re-entering the working world. She divorced her husband and tried to re-enter the job market at 53 years old, and the business world basically saw her as someone with no skills and no need to have them in the office. although her ex has had a successful career of 30 years and international reputation. He had health insurance, retirement plan, a penthouse, and a Jaguar, and a new partner. And he had all of those things, yet she lost everything in that divorce. Now, there's a resentment on his part that the judge ordered him to pay alimony, but she's really writing this to point out that we can see why women get stuck in these unhappy marriages and why they stay in them for many, many years. Now, the reason I'm having Bonnie back, as I've explained, she was on the program with Dennis last time around, and Dennis is a gay man who had formed an outside relationship with a married man. Bonnie will be coming back with a former married man, a gay man who was pretending to be straight, and he married a woman, and we'll find out about his story when he calls, but it will be a different perspective and a different presentation rather than being the outside partner. We're going to hear from the husband who is playing this game, this emotional game with his partner, with his married partner, and probably with his children, those who do have children. Now, again, I don't endorse Bonnie's position that you're either straight or you're gay. There's no basis of that in any scientific information or in any conversations I can find with any of the previous guests. But I do understand how she's come to feel that way. In Bonnie's world, she has dealt with liars. These liars have lied about their sexual orientation time and time again. And when caught, they often claim to be bisexual or deny it altogether, or claim to be bisexual at some point, and that they really love their wives. So in Bonnie's experience with the huge number of women that have worked with her, it's the word bisexual has come to mean a misrepresenting of the truth. So I get it, how she could feel that way, but I also get it that there is a rainbow of sexuality between exclusively heterosexual and exclusively homosexual, and I want to point that out. And I want to tell you, and I wanted to point out that I was having her back because of the number of emails that I received from women who benefited from the show, and also she'll be coming back with a man who was married to a woman for many years who was actually a gay man. So had it not been for the number of emails from women who had contacted the show, in addition to this person who did not mind her name being put out in the air, in addition to Jody Marshall, I would have not have done that. I probably would not have had Bonnie come back on the show because of that break with our mindset and the way we see the world here. But on the other hand, there are women whose lives are in fact ruined by these liars who pretend to be straight, but they're not. These people are not bisexual, yet they scream that they're bisexual when they're caught and are exposed. So I hope you will join us for that show, and I wanted to take a moment to explain it to just us. While there was no guest scheduled, explain why I was doing this. I believe in the chat room after Bonnie was on, I made the remark that we wouldn't have her back, but that was before these emails arrived, and so I can see that it's doing some good, and I know that everyone on this that listens to this show has a loving heart and wants to reach out to straight women and who have been victimized by this. We often laugh when the Republicans, it seems time after time, it's another Republican gets exposed with this. And we like to laugh about that, and that's all well and good, yet we don't always address the wife. So that's why I'm giving the time to this area. You know, the wife normally comes out a few days later after the husband is caught. This happens in political circles, standing behind their husband saying that they don't believe that he's gay, and you can see why these people get trapped in long-term relationships and don't feel that they, you know, there are children involved, there's working involved, there's job skills involved, there's a million things involved. So I won't belabor it anymore, but I felt that I owed you listeners an explanation as to why I invited Bonnie back. And the show, as I said again, will be from a different perspective because Bonnie will be bringing a fellow named Steve, who was formerly a married man, rather than and Dennis last time was the gay partner of a married man. So in the spirit of helping others, let's have Bonnie back, and I owed you all an explanation for that. Now, by and large, now if you did not hear the interview, it's not that Bonnie is some sort of a monster that screams. It's not that she's some right winger. It's just that she has had some hard knocks and seen a lot of women who have had some hard knocks from married men. So I get it that she's angry. And I don't know what else to say to you. You're welcome to call into the show and talk to me about it, or email, or communicate in chat. I'll try to keep an eye on chat, and that's all I know to tell you on that, dear listeners. Yeah, so in the spirit of helping others, let's see. Did I mention that I love you guys? Yes, in fact, I do. I love my job. You know, I'm a little bit, I'm an old guy, you know, in my 50s, so I didn't get my nap this afternoon. So I'm a little cranky tonight, but I assure you, if you do call in or communicate, I will be very pleasant. But, you know, those old folks get a little cranky when we don't get our naps. I'm going to start the show this evening in a place that I never, ever, ever start the show. As many of you know who've listened for a long period of time, you know that I don't do television. I got so frustrated with it, I would yell and scream so loudly that it began to scare the doggy, and so I literally got rid of it. I've told this 100 times. I have a little black and white TV I haul out for tornadoes, and other than that, I don't pay any attention. So it's a little bit unusual for me to talk about anything that happens on television. But I'm irresistibly drawn to that this evening. In fact, two stories that have to do with that primetime entertainment must-see TV. And we are headed to a particular place by starting with these stories. It's not that they're being pulled out randomly, but initially I know you'll be very surprised when I tell you that we're going to talk about, at least initially, Luke Snyder and Noah Mayer. That's Noah Mayer and Luke Snyder. You know, if you don't know who Luke and Noah are, then you indeed are not a person who tunes in daily to As the World Turns, which is a CBS soap opera and has been for many, many, many hundreds of years. Well, I rephrase that, at least back to 1956. I remember, I was born in the 50s. I remember when we got our television in the late 50s, somewhere around there. I remember seeing it in black and white, As the World Turns. And I think we all remember that from back in our childhoods. I remember, too, when I was in my 20s, I did a gig as a TV repairman for a while when I was in my 20s. And, of course, TV repairmen work on televisions during the week, during the day. And so we got plenty of soap operas as part of what we did, along with Come On Down and all the other programming of the on this Hollywood Squares. You know, some of them you would linger. Some of them you would pretend it took a little longer to fix the TV than it really did because you wanted to see Paul Lynn, at least in my case. I wanted to see Paul Lynn on Hollywood Squares. So this is another story, but, you know, I'm prone to wander off down the road following the chickens. And so that was neither here nor there. But anyway, Luke and Noah are lovers. They are two young men on the CBS soap opera, and they have not kissed on television since September. And the fans, in fact, have started writing a letter campaign to CBS, wondering. In fact, there's even a website that counts the days, the hours, minutes, and seconds since Luke and Noah last kissed on As the World Turns. And fellow who watches it from the New York suburbs. Yes, Ben, watch it too. We totally support this show, and we applaud the show for doing this storyline. We just don't understand why they can't kiss. Oh, my. In any case, they did kiss, and they did kiss at one point. It's believed to be the first time two gay men have kissed in a soap opera. It's hard to document that sort of thing because so many of us have other things to do rather than to watch these soap operas. But they did kiss, and that was the only kiss. It was back in September. Now, see, back then, Noah was still coming to grips with the fact that he was gay, and Noah loved Luke, and it was all very sweet. But around Christmas time, people began to try to figure out what in the world was going on. It was clear that there was a very tender scene between the two this last Christmas. And it was obvious they were about to kiss. I mean, in a soap opera, you can tell from 500 paces when people are about to kiss, and this is not a big mystery. So the camera zooms in as they're about to kiss and slowly pans up to the mistletoe. Doesn't it remind you back of the I Love Lucy days when they slept in twin beds and you never saw a kiss unless it was a peck on the cheek? In any case, the people who are watching the soap opera said they have been watching soap operas for decades and they simply cannot believe the fact that the camera panned up when there was this kiss between, or supposedly a kiss between Luke and Noah. Now, I've never seen Luke and Noah. I wouldn't know them if I met them on the street. It doesn't really much matter who they are, but I assume they're handsome young men. Now, the soap is owned and produced by Procter & Gamble, which is, of course, the company that makes Bounty and Crest and Pampers and Mr. Clean. You got to love that guy, Mr. Clean and Ivory Soap. And a representative from Procter & Gamble says there's no kissing ban, and she explains that the mistletoe shot was a creative decision, and she goes on to say it's hard to please a diverse audience. Weber also recalls reading just a very few letters in a soap opera publication, Lord knows what that is, a checkout stand rag of some sort, I assume. From some of the viewers, it was a very small percentage of the viewers, surprisingly enough, who said, I don't care if Luke is gay, I don't want to see it. Meaning it was all right for them to be on the show, but they just didn't want to see them kiss. So it was pretty much a minimal negative reaction from viewers from the show. A fellow named Tim Winter of the Parents Television Council said it was totally new to him. He had never heard anything about it. And interestingly enough, now the American Family Association, who we know and love on this network, has an action alert out against Procter & Gamble, causing Procter & Gamble in the Glade, calling them the company that is the top pro-homosexual sponsor on television. Of course, that group, if you can call them that, does a chart relative to how many Procter & Gamble products are advertised on any given show with gay or lesbian characters. But as it turns out, this has completely flown under Donald Wildman's attention, who is the main goon over at the American Family Association. And in fact, in their list of television programming, As the World Turned is not even mentioned, and which is the Luke and Noah show. It's interestingly enough, dear listeners, that on the on this television program, we've had a 14-year-old boy who's shot by a man who was attacking his mother. We had a character on this show who is so desperate for a baby that she slept with her ex-brother-in-law and was nearly caught in an elevator having sex. And there is another woman who led her children and ex-husband into believing she had a brain tumor to get him back. Yet we pan to the mistletoe when the men are about to kiss. You know, this is a huge thing in our society. You know, men kissing, they just cannot handle that. I mean, it just sets off too many fuses. I don't really quite understand it, but it's true. Now, well, that's another story. I was thinking back to back in the day when I was a TV repairman, it was one of our customers, a company I worked for, her son was in a soap opera, and she had this huge old Philco television set. It was a huge pile of junk. It kept breaking. And so she would call us to rush over there in the morning to try to fix it before her son was on television on his soap opera. I'm not sure that he was on As the World Turns, but he was on one of the primetime soaps on one of the major networks. Her son, by the way, was Brad Davis. That's the Brad Davis of Midnight Express and many other movies, but you probably remember him from Midnight Express. He's a fellow who died of AIDS back when Hollywood was very, very, very paranoid of AIDS. They went to huge lengths to say that he was heterosexual, and he very well might have been. He probably was. In fact, he was married. He had children, seemed happily married. But he did have a cocaine habit. And so, in summaries about that from that day, back in the day, there's that he definitely contracted HIV. This is, of course, before the cocktails were available to help extend people's lives. He definitely contracted it the first time by a shared needle or heterosexual contact. That was very important to declare back in the day. But anyway, I remember when he passed away, I wrote his mother a little letter saying that he was a wonderful actor and that we would indeed miss him. Lord, I really did need a nap today. I'm wandering all... Oh, I'm just not even keeping in between the lines tonight. Don't even care if I'm driving off into the median. And speaking of television shows, now we are going somewhere with this. We're not going to do TV all evening, but who can resist doing it? It's my first sin. It's my first sin is to going into entertainment babble on this show. It's the first time I've done this, so I'm sure the listeners won't mind if I do it. But this won't happen again. This will not happen again. A fellow named Jason Simmons, that's with two A's and two M's, Jason Simmons, he is known to the world as the incredibly good-looking lifeguard Logan Fowler in the soap opera Baywatch, or the beach opera, if you may know it as. He's come out to an Australian magazine. He's 37 years old. He plans to marry his partner, who is an Irish actor, John O'Callaghan, and the couple's been together about 8 months, and they're planning to adopt a 6-year-old Ugandan boy. 8 months doesn't sound long. This must be a shotgun adoption, if you'll pardon the pun. Oh, Peter, that was bad. You really should not have done that. In any case, they want to share their home, which is a wonderful thing. And you know, I believe it was Madonna who adopted a child from that neck of the woods. And, of course, that's a wonderful thing. The children there are very bad shape. But the decision to go public about it was it's been praised by gay rights advocates. And Simmons was born in Tasmania. And the Tasmanian, one of the gay and lesbian rights groups down there, has spoken up that many young people in the island grow up feeling isolated and stigmatized. So the fact that Jason Simmons has come out in his personal and private life sends them a message to them as someone they can look up to. And Jason says, although you don't want to typecast yourself, you have to take responsibility and ownership to move humanity forward out of bigotry. So you have to hand it to them that they did that. I'm sure we'll hear more about that, but I probably won't cover it. If you're looking for extended stories about when these guys get married, I probably just won't. I won't see it because I don't normally go to sites where that's. But this is, I don't know, hard to say, somewhat connected. I'm going to talk about this whole thing about that's so gay. Couple of different points of view about that. You know, in school yards, it is second graders and third graders. It's about all. If you walk by a school yard, you'll hear it yelled between the students constantly. What it means is, when you're saying that's so gay, or that's totally gay, what that means is it's lame, or it's ugly, or it's weak, or it is stupid. In other words, it is not a compliment in the sense that that's so gay is thrown around in the schoolyard. There's a train of thought that says it's not like calling someone faggot. Even if it is a derogatory. But the thing is it's becoming a women's issue to a degree. The condemnation of homosexuality, according to this particular group, is the fear and hatred of homosexuals, and that's so gay is an expression of homophobia. And you may ask yourself, well, why should I care? Well, homophobia is rooted in misogyny, which is the fear and hatred of females. Interesting point of view. I had known this in the back of my mind, but I haven't heard it put right out there before. These folks are saying when coaches call their male students, or they're the athletes are coaching, when they call them girls or ladies, they're indeed insulting them for being like girls or being like women. And, of course, for little boys, there is absolutely nothing in the whole wide world that could be possibly worse than being called a girl or a lady. And when boys are yelling on the school grounds, you throw like a girl, they are insulting that person. And which is what the meaning of that phrase is at the schoolyard level. There's more information about it in this article, but let's move on to the other point of view. This is the urban point of view. And in fact, we're moving away from the schoolyard set, and we're moving into the adults. We're moving to the 20-somethings who are living in large urban areas and are safe in their environment. There's nobody's going to harass them. They're professional people, and all the they're out to their friends, and it's a safe environment. They're beginning to use the phrase "that's so gay too," and apparently I can see myself laughing at it too, in a particular situation, but they're changing the meaning of it. From "that's so gay" as an insult to "that's so gay" as something that's funny. In fact, there's a fellow, Jose Muse. He's the associate professor at New York's University and the author of "Disidentification, Queers of Color, and Performance of Politics." He says that everybody loves it. He says, "I remember saying it in a gay pride parade this year. It was hilarious. Everybody was rolling on the floor laughing. Everybody was thrilled to have it come back because we'd all forgotten about it. We all wanted to say it again and again." You see, they had all forgotten about it, meaning that they had been taunted by that when they were kids in school, and they were powerless against it. So what they're saying is that to be able to use that in a gay environment is a great release because there's no threat, and it completely catches people off guard. You know, for another gay person, "Oh, that's so gay." And it's liberating in a sense because these folks experienced it as persecution when they were younger. This article goes into more information about the N-word and the variations of vocabulary and how subgroups tend to adopt names that are insulting to them over a period of time. But anyway, one of the people is saying, "I do remember hearing 'that's so gay' as I was a kid." Now, these are 20-somethings who remember it back from the schoolyard. This has been going on for quite a while now. And by the way, tomorrow night's guest, I know I'm wandering around, but just bear with me. We'll get there. Tomorrow night's guest is Scott Hall. He's with Gay American Heroes Foundation, and we will be talking in depth about the 15-year-old who was murdered in Oxnard, California, in a classroom. He was shot in the head by another student about his age because he was gay. This particular child had been taunted all of his life. In fact, I've been reading more about it as I'm preparing for the guest tomorrow evening. There was no safe space for him in his school. There was no safe place for him in the math class or in the library or on the school bus or on the quad or in the lunchroom. It started from the moment he arrived at school. He was called "that's so gay," "he's so gay," "he's queer," "he's a faggot," went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Of course, the teachers were loath to become involved in that because it's awkward for them. You never know how the parents are going to react. You've got the parents to deal with, who some are homophobes, some are not. So anyway, after 30 years of gay activism, there are now some pockets of America, Manhattan, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and many other smaller but progressive groups where gays rule and where they feel comfortable, where we feel comfortable. And every time people say that's so gay, it's a reminder that they have moved past it, and they can say whatever they want to say, and it means whatever they want it to mean, and so that's fun, and I get that. One fellow says, I like to do it because it surprises people. It startles them because they remember having it said to them or about them when they were kids, and then there's this look of relief that comes on their faces that they're not there anymore, and that they realize that they can now be the ones to say it. How about your friend's jacket? That's so gay. In fact, it's almost a compliment. Oh, my stars. Anyway, the phrase that's so gay can still startle folks because it's made a comeback privately amongst gay folks. And someone is saying it. It'll never be as big as You Go Girl, but that's okay, is surfacing back. But nonetheless, it still has its nasty meanings in the schoolyard, and the 2- and 3-year-olds, when 4- and 5-year-olds turn into 2nd and 3rd graders and 4th graders. And so there's two different points of view about this. I believe that we'll probably get into this to some degree tomorrow night in talking with our guest, Scott. Now, by the way, Scott Hall is in Miami. He's one of our straight allies. Remarkable fellow. He is starting a memorial of all the, hopefully to eventually include everyone that we know about who's been murdered simply because of their orientation or the way they present themselves in a gender role. And he will be a great guest. But we'll probably get into this because... But now the reason I do all this, the reason I go all of this, and it's our dear friend Lottie in the chat room. Now, our dear friend Lottie happened to be watching the IFC channel the other evening, and we've actually had this a couple of days, but we haven't had a chance to get to it. But Lottie was sitting at home minding his own business, as Lottie does, either chatting with us or watching television. He happened to be watching the IFC channel, and he caught a program called The Whitest Kids You Know. And he points out that it's a ripoff of the old television show, or at least based upon the old television show, The Kids in the Hall. And he found it amusing. But at the end of the show, they did a particular song that practically knocked him off his seat. And actually, when I heard it, I too... fell out of my seat. It's quite funny, and it sort of sums up the "that's so gay" statement. So yes, we went through all the television shows, we went through the schoolyard, we went through the whole thing to get to this song. This is perhaps the world's longest introduction to a track played on the Head On Radio Network. That was a 40-minute introduction to the America song, or Totally Gay for America. Roll it, Bob.
Well, I got in my car and went down to the bar to relax from a full working day. And while drinking my beer, I happened to hear this New York banker type say that our country's all wrong and that we don't belong in affairs that are so far away. And so I pushed back my chair and I stood up right there and made sure the whole bar heard me say, I'm totally gay for America. I'm totally gay for the U.S. of A. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, I'd gladly bend down and take Florida in my mouth. I'd tongue kiss Mount Rushmore and drop my pants to my waist, then take the Washington Monument all the way to its base. There ain't a lot of things that make me feel this way, but this country of mine makes me totally gay. Now I know things ain't right, It's on the news every night and in the papers almost every day. I want to hug Uncle Sam, caress his hair with my hand, and let him know everything is okay. Maybe give him a quick peck at the nape of his neck and rub his shoulders till his cares went away. Trace the curse of his thighs and look into his eyes and see if he wants to go hit the hay. 'Cause I'm totally gay for America. I'm totally gay for the U.S. of A. I know we can never get married, but he never asked me anyway. 'Cause it would undermine the family. I know that's what he'd say, but we could keep it a secret and continue on that way. And I'd be faithful and loyal till he threw me away. There ain't a lot of things that make me feel this way, but this country of mine makes me totally gay.
And there you have it. The world's most fabulous. There's actually a video that accompanies that. It's classic. Perhaps Lottie can post it for you in the chat room, and you can catch it later. It's done in the truest tradition of country and western music style, which, yeah, I happen to like some country and western music. I'm certainly not littling it, but, oh, it's a major hoot. He's sitting at the bar in this sort of redneck or country bar, and the fellow who's knocking America is wearing a skull cap, the Jewish hat. So, you know, obviously, you know, this is a New York type coming in, you know, at least in his perspective, New York type. Coming in, this New York Jew, as he would put it, putting down America. And then the singer goes on to say that he's totally gay for America. And you just got to laugh or cry. We'll be talking some more about these issues tomorrow. Homophobic abuse endemic in schools. The teacher survey says gay is now the most commonly used put down used in the classroom. Teachers are saying there's a conspiracy of silence because it's become to seem normal to teachers, this homophobia. There's also more news regarding the child who was shot in Oxnard, California, and also new information about the man who shot him. And I called it a skull cap, it's a yarmulke. Thank you, Bob. Growing up in the South, you don't come across many of those. So those are yarmulkes. Knew the word, but couldn't pull it out of my hat. By the way, there's we'll put this aside and get to it tomorrow when we have our guest. There's some new information from the folks over at the American Family Association. Speaking of the American Family Association, we have been following on and off on this network several of the shows. We've mentioned on this show, too, the American Family Association's boycott, 2-year boycott, by the way, of Ford Motors, because they're totally gay. They have, like, totally gay ads and, like, totally gay magazines with totally gay people and totally gay stories. And the American Family Association is totally upset. So they are calling it a pro-homosexual automobile manufacturer. Well, you remember the Ford Probe, don't you? Har, har, har. That's a gay car. It's a probe. In any case, the American Family Association writes, "I have some good news for you." Thank you, Bob. I have something about this buried in the stack, but I don't have the actual letter from Mr. Wildman. He says, "I have good news for you." He's writing this to his many, many followers. And, of course, as always, I like to point out that on all of the new newsletters that arrive from the American Family Association, there's plenty of statements of forward this to your friends and donate to the American Family Association. In fact, were it not for the LGBT community, the American Family Association would be sitting on the side of the road with a bottle of wine. Were it probably belongs, but you didn't hear me say that. In any case, they are indicating that they have great news. They're ending the 2-year boycott of Ford Motors, and says the original conditions that we have presented to them in the fall of 2005 have been met, and we have reached the conclusion, how self-righteous can you get? We have reached the conclusion, since we are totally tuned into God, and we totally believe what God totally believes, and so, like, we totally know what we're totally doing against this totally gay company that made a probe. So they have reached the conclusion that Ford has met all of the conditions of the agreement based on monitoring Ford. And it's almost difficult to read this sentence. They have the nerve to say individuals are free to purchase Ford vehicles again. Now, this is a separate sentence separated from all the others by the periods and all the traditional accoutrements of paragraphs and sentence structures. They are as if from on high, as if God himself, as if it's from the Old Testament, as if it's from the book of Leviticus. Individuals are free to purchase Ford vehicles again. Well, praise the Lord. Amazing. Your support of the boycott played a key role in convincing Ford to cease its support of the homosexual agenda. During the 24 months of the boycott, Ford sales dropped an average of 8% a month. Of course, this has nothing to do with the gas-guzzling SUVs that their showrooms are so famous for. Oh, no, has nothing to do with that. It has to do, in fact, with the fact that they're totally gay and they make, like, totally gay cars and they advertise in, like, totally gay magazines. So, a total of 780,000, actually 780,000 plus people who have signed the American Family Association's boycott of Ford. It says that here were the original agreements, or the conditions that they put upon Ford, that Ford has now agreed to. By the way, the something I have buried in here, I don't have it in front of you. Anyway, the fellow Joe By God from the wonderful blog Joe By God actually contacted Ford to ask them, you know, what's the deal on this? Are you really pulling back on your support of the LGBT community in terms of hiring practices, in terms of job discriminations, in terms of partner benefits, all the different things that we have to think about. And Ford assured them that they were. But Joe points out, I can almost quote this from memory, Joe points out, it's sort of like asking somebody, do you love me? And what they say back to you is, yes, I love everybody. Usually if you ask somebody, do you love me? And they say, yes, I love everybody, that means they don't love you. So pretty much that was the response from Ford, at least that was Joe's interpretation after having spoken to them. In any case, the conditions from the American Family Association were that Ford would not renew current promotions or create future incentives that give cash donations to homosexual organizations based on the purchase of a vehicle. Yeah, I just didn't realize that I could run down and buy a probe. Do they still make probes? And that money would be donated to a homosexual organization. Well, hell, if we all went out and drove probes, we could almost fund this network, according to the American Family Association. The second condition, the second rule from the book of Leviticus, Ford would not make corporate donations to homosexual organizations as part of their activities, nor would they engage in political or social campaigns to promote civil unions or same-sex marriage. And Ford would stop giving cash and vehicle donations or endorsements to homosexual social activities like hay rides. No. I take that back. Not hay rides, gay prides. Gay pride parades. And of course, hay rides, should we decide to have one. Ford will cease all advertising on homosexual websites. This is unbelievable, people. Unbelievable. Ford will cease all advertising on homosexual websites and through homosexual media outlets. parentheses, magazines, television, radio. I wonder if I'm a homosexual media outlet. Come on down. Get your homosexuals. It's Crazy Peter. All homosexuals are marked down. I must be crazy to be offering homosexuals at this price. I've just read too many. I'm getting a little crazy. Told you didn't get my nap today. Told you a little cranky. Says that they're going to stop, they're requiring Ford to stop all advertising on homosexual websites and through media outlets, magazines, television, radio in the United States, with the exception of 100,000 with the exception of $100,000 to be used by Volvo. The Volvo ads would be the same ads used in the general media and not aimed at the homosexual community specifically. God forbid that a homosexual would buy a Volvo as a result of an ad that was directed at the homosexual community. I remember this little stew, this little made-up problem. There was an advertisement. Ford did an advertisement for Volvo, and I don't have this in front of me. I'm just doing this from memory, so there are holes here and there. But, you know, I love you, you love me, you know, we just go with it. Whatever's left in my brain, we just use it as best we can. In any case, there was a Volvo ad that Ford was running in one of the homosexual print magazines. Probably, you know, could have been The Advocate, could have been any number of publications. And apparently right next to the Ford, you know, the magazines placed the ads, you know, right next to the Ford advertisement, there was a advertisement for a health club. You know, it had like, you know, workout facilities, you know, all the, you know, the standard gym equipment, you know, the weights, the barbells, the pull up and down machines, you know, carpet, music piped in, except being a gay one, it was probably a different music than you expect that you come to know and love from listening to Strictly Confidential. Maybe one of Bobby Vitaretti's mixes or Larry Sanders or even VJC or Rick or any of the wonderful people we've had on the show, and Hank, and oh gosh, the list goes on and on and on. In any case, we would hope that your music would be playing in this health club. But in any case, there were a couple of buff men, young men, who were in this advertisement for the gym or whatever it was, and apparently it was placed so close to the Ford. This is the way I remember. It was placed so close to the Ford Volvo advertisement that the American Family Association decided that the hot-looking buff men who were posing next to the Ford Volvo advertisement were indeed a part of the Ford advertisement. So imagine that. Ford was using attractive men to attract gay men. I mean, that's just simply not done in the heterosexual community. No, we never advertise anything using gorgeous women, now do we? But even if we use that as an example, Ford was not doing that. It was a regular old everyday Volvo ad. I'm sure it was quite festive. I hate to say regular old everyday, but it was not particularly targeted at the gay community. Nonetheless, one of their rules is Ford will cease all advertising on homosexual websites and through homosexual media outlets, magazines, television, radio, in the U.S., with the exception of $100,000 to be used by Volvo. I don't get it. Perhaps this is a sin tax. You know, I'm trying to find some biblical basis for this family organization that supports the family and lifts up someone they call God, but apparently they have never met. This $100, $100,000 exception are to be used by Volvo. I love to know what that means. Anyway, the Volvo ads would be the same ads used in the general media, not aim at the homosexual community specifically, meaning the ad that wasn't addressed to the homosexual community in the first place. It just happened to be next to a couple of good-looking guys who were, in fact, advertising for a gym. And goes on to say, a few minor issues remain, but we will continue to bring these to the attention of Ford. And basically, Ford's met the terms of the agreement, and we're suspending the boycott. Click here to make a donation. Forward this to everyone you know. Click here to make a donation. Forward this to everyone you know. Click here to make a donation. Forward this to every... I'm just reading the occurrences. They're not all next to each other, mind you. I'm scrolling up and down the email flyer. Countless times, you are encouraged to make your donation and forward it to everyone you know. So there you have it from on high. The statement clearly is individuals are free to purchase Ford vehicles again. You can't make this stuff up. Really can't. Lord have mercy. So many places we could go. Let's see, it's 9:56. Let's talk about this. And after this, we'll do the our go to break track tonight, which is a wonderful track. I just love it. I'm sure you will too. You hear it'll knock socks off. The Institute on Religion and Democracy is at it again. You know, this is one of my favorite organizations. It is a right wing, privately funded Republican think tank with a mission that is specifically to divide the church and to any church, just any old church. They don't really mess with the Baptists because the Baptists are already, anti-gay, and they don't mess with the Roman Catholics, but everybody else is fair game. And in any case, one of their folks, a Mark Tooley, by the way, he's a CIA, an ex-CIA operative who is his job is to divide the Methodist Church. You see, each of the major denominations has someone appointed to them. These people are not a member of the denomination, mind you. They are simply there to make sure that the congregations stay stirred up when they are involved in truth and justice activities. In any case, Mr. Tooley has stated now that it is not surprising that top officials in the United Methodist Church are calling for a denominational boycott of firms who do business with Israel. Say what? What? Gee, I'm in a Methodist church every Sunday. This is news to me, Mark. Tell me more, Mark Tooley. He says, recently officials from the United Methodist Church Washington Lobby Office asked the General Conference delegation to support church divestments from Caterpillar, you know, the big yellow ones, because they sold products to Israel. How's that? The United Methodist Church officials claimed, of course this means it's not true, they just claimed that the divestment was neither anti-Semitic nor anti-Israel, it's just that they didn't want to own any more Caterpillar. Of course, this is not the way it is being told to the folks inside the United Methodist Church by Mark Tooley. You see, they have an unlimited budget that is capable of reaching out in an unlimited way in any number of ways to get this information out. And you know, what is amazing to me, now, by the way, I'll give you some other examples. What Mark Tooley Mark Tooley is the one assigned to the Methodists, what Mark Tooley has said about this church. But what is disturbing to me are all the responses to this type of stuff. Here, let me just give you a few. Without question, everybody who reads this believes it. They do not realize, like you and I, dear listeners, that there's any such thing as the Institute on Religion and Democracy, or the fact that Mark Tooley really isn't a Methodist, or the fact that he is advocating any sort of way to divide the church in order to promote the agenda of the government, not the agenda of Christ, but that's a whole other story. Let me give you some comments. People believe this left and right. I was shocked to see this article. Clearly, these top officials do not speak for all Methodists. As for me, I support Israel. I attend a Methodist church that's filled with love and good Bible teaching, but the national UMC leaders have always been very liberal. To me, this article is very interesting, and the Methodists are undermining and destroying the church. Pray for the UMC General Conference in Fort Worth. The United Methodist Church needs to learn what Christianity means. Jesus was a Jew. They need to support Israel. My Bible says, "He who blesses Israel shall be blessed, and he who curses Israel shall be cursed. You know, the point is not to get into discussion of Israel and politics. Our dear host Mark Levine covers that very well, along with issues from Washington. So I don't intend to head there. But I'm just this is the sort of foothold that these think tanks have on what people believe about the church. Satan is working to take over the church. The weakest will be the most vulnerable. You'll know the devil's work when you see it in the Methodist Church. It's just amazing. Anti-Semitism is their apparent motive. The United Methodists hate Jews. This is what I'm reading. Comment after comment after comment after comment. It's heartbreaking, really. And they want another Republican think tank built on the United Methodist Church, Southern Methodist University campus. If they have their way, pray for the Methodist Conference. Indeed, the Methodist Conference is the only thing that's standing in the way of another Republican think tank whose only job will be to rewrite history so that we all can fall in line with the fact that George Bush indeed was a man of God. And in fact, the only thing that was wrong, the only things went wrong for Bush was because the Democrats stood in his way. And so that's the story that we have for Mark Tooley. There's more to come after this top of the hour break. We'll go to the top of the hour break with a preview track. This will be coming up in an upcoming Sandpiper release from the world's most dangerous yet lovable DJ, Larry Sanders. And you can find out more about the Sandpiper series at MorningstarMelody.com. It's an amazing rebuilt remix by Mr. Larry Sanders of Bette Midler's Hurricane. Roll it, Bob.
riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And we're back, riding across the country on that horse named Strictly Confidential, a proud member of the Head On Radio Network. And it's good to be back with you this evening after a week of being away from the microphone. It is indeed a pleasure to be amongst you. By the way, folks, that was a gay hurricane. You've heard the stories from Jerry Falwell about the hurricanes that the gay folks are supposed to cause, wiping out Miami and wiping out New Orleans and typhoons, hurricanes, you name it. It's all because of the LGBT community, but I just wanted you to know that what you have just experienced was indeed a gay hurricane, and it's much nicer than the ones that we are accused of. That was an edit to Rebuilt mix by Mr. Larry Sanders, a preview track from an upcoming Sandpiper. All of his music is available at MorningstarMelody.com, and he is our gay bar across the street DJ later this evening. I wanted to have some audio for you. I'm just going to briefly mention something that myself and John Fox and Bob talked about last evening. You recall we were talking about a bill in the state of Oklahoma that anytime a student writes on a test, a student can write "God did it," or if the student doesn't know, the student can simply say that it was an act of God or God did it. In fact, it could even be a factual thing, like the what's the age of the Earth could be on the test, and which of the scientific explanation of that or estimation is 4.65 billion years. If the student entered 6,000 years and based it on his religious beliefs, the school would have to count that as correct. This is what happens when you mix church and state. It damages both. It certainly damages education. And the bill requires public schools to guarantee students the right to express their religious viewpoints in class and in homework and in tests without being penalized, and which is why America is falling. Why do I bring this up? Well, the sponsor and one of the supporters of this bill is Ms. Sally Kern, who is Republican. Are you surprised she's Republican? I don't think so. From Oklahoma City. She has issued a statement today in response to criticisms that she has been getting over the last couple of days regarding a something she said when she was being recorded. She was speaking to a group of Republican thugs and did not realize she was being recorded. And, let's just give you that, Bob, that audio. Bob, run the Oklahoma Sally, the Rep Sally clip, please.
The homosexual agenda is destroying this nation. Okay, it's just a fact. Not everybody's lifestyle is equal, just like not all religions are equal. You know, the very fact that I'm talking to you like this here today puts me in jeopardy. Okay, and I'm not anti, I'm not gay bashing, but according to God's word, that is not the right kind of lifestyle. It has deadly consequences for those people involved in it. They have more suicides. And they're more discouraged, there's more illness, their lifespans are shorter, you know. It's not a lifestyle that is good for this nation. Matter of fact, studies show that no society that has totally embraced homosexuality has lasted more than, you know, a few decades. So it's the death knell in this country. I honestly think it's the biggest threat even that our nation has, even more so than terrorism. Or Islam, which I think is a big threat. Okay, because what's happening now? They're going after in schools 2-year-olds. You know why they're trying to get early childhood education? They want to get our young children into the government schools so they can indoctrinate them. I taught school for close to 20 years, and we're not teaching facts and knowledge anymore, folks. We're teaching indoctrination. Okay, and they're going after our young children as young as 2 years of age to try to teach them that the homosexual lifestyle is an acceptable lifestyle. You know, gays are infiltrating city councils. Did you know Eureka Springs? Anybody been there at the Passion Play? Okay, have you heard that the city council of Eureka Springs is now controlled by gays? Okay, there are some others, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Tacoma, Maryland, Kensington, Maryland, in Vermont, Oregon, West Palm Beach, Florida, and a lot of other places in Florida. What's happening? And they are winning elections. One of the things I deal with in our legislature, I tried to introduce a bill last year that would notify parents. Schools had to let parents know what clubs their students were involved in. And the reason I did that bill primarily was this. We have the Gay Straight Alliance coming into our schools. Kids are getting involved in these groups. Their lives are being ruined. Their parents don't know about it. So I introduced a bill that says you have to notify all clubs and things. And one of my colleagues said, you know, we don't have a gay problem in my community, so that's why I voted against that bill. Well, you know what? To me, that is so dumb. If you've got cancer or something in your little toe, do you say, well, you know, I'm just going to forget about it because the rest of it's fine? It spreads, okay? And this stuff is deadly, and it's spreading, and it will destroy our young people. It will destroy this nation.
Ah, did you catch that? More dangerous than terrorists. And, of course, the Baptist pastors rang in immediately after the speech. Bob Rund, the Baptist pastor, Paul Blair.
I agree with everything that God's Word has to say. That is our standard. The Bible's very clear about God's ideal for a home.
For a home. That was the Baptist pastor, Paul Blair, ringing in on Sally Kern's rant that she gave to a group of about 50 Republicans. This was intended to be private, however it was recorded. Homosexuality is destroying this nation. She says, what I'm saying, I believe. She goes on and on and on. This woman was a school teacher, by the way. They let her teach. This is a woman who endorses the you can answer any question with God did it and get full credit. The God did it. This is not to diminish. You, I have no sense in even going there. You all know if you listen to the show where I stand on that. But this woman was a teacher, and she is now a let's talk about the Baptist pastor for a second. You know, this is exactly why the Institute of Religion and Democracy, which I brought up earlier in relation to their attacks against the Methodist Church and the other Protestant denominations. This is exactly why the IRD is not going after the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church has already fallen in line. The Baptist Church is already endorsing anything that is of this magnitude of pure, outright stupid. Now, this isn't altogether true. There are Baptists who are horrified at their own church, yet remain members in hopes of changing it. I've seen their sites. Great people. But by and large, the governing Baptists, for the Southern Baptists anyway, feel this way, too. You know, the woman is not embarrassed. The woman is absolutely not embarrassed about anything she said. Let me give you her response. She was questioned about this on NBC, I believe it's NBC Channel 9 in Oklahoma, today, after she had done this rant. Bob, please run the Sally Kern response.
But what I'm saying, I believe in. What I'm saying, I believe is true. I talk about the health aspect of homosexuality. There are indisputable facts that, it's a deadly lifestyle. And I mention that. I also mention that how they're going after our young children. It's why they write books like King and King, which was an issue 3 years ago, which actually, the way I see this is kind of old hat. The homosexuals, especially here in Oklahoma City and probably most of the state, they know where I stand. And so, you know, somebody just took recording my speech, and now it's all over the country, and, it's all over the country. What can I do? Okay? As a Christian, I believe that homosexuality is immoral. The Bible teaches that. Now, as an American, I believe they have a right to choose that lifestyle if they want, and I have a right to say that I believe it's wrong. And so, bottom line, that's it. As I said, there are indisputable facts that show it's a deadly lifestyle, has some really negative consequences for individuals. Also, when I have given my speech, I talk about how there is now a group of homosexual activists who are aggressively funding the homosexual movement on local and state level, not the national level so much, on the local and state level. In 06, they targeted about 70 conservatives, and they took out 50 of them, 50 people who oppose the homosexual agenda. Now, it's their right to fund it. That's okay. Oklahomans are socially conservative. They believe in marriage as a sacred institution between one man and one woman. And they believe traditional marriage is worth protecting and preserving. And when I campaigned on those issues and told my constituents that I would support those values. And so I don't apologize.
No, she doesn't apologize. She does not apologize at all. This audio was leaked to the Internet by the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund. If you recall, we've had the Victory Fund on this program more than once. The Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund supports LGBT candidates at any level, whether it be dog catcher or senator. LGBT candidates who are standing a very good chance of winning, were they funded and coaxed to take these positions of responsibility, and they are hugely successful. And we thank the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund for getting this audio out. But oh, the times, they are changing. There was once a time in this country when a Sally Kern could make these remarks and not a ripple would be heard from the church. Now, there would be ripples from the LGBT community. There would certainly be ripples from us individually and on the blogs, but those times are changing. A letter that arrived from a Reverend Russell Mark. Now, he is with the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists. Now, why do I keep bringing up Baptists? Well, as you might well expect, Sally has a deep relationship with the Baptist Church. He says, I can say that many of us have had our belly full of this theo-fascism. Can you believe this is coming from a Baptist, Sally? He says, it is a form of terrorism in itself. We have to strike back at this language. Yes. Also, as a concerned Baptist minister, this is from another Baptist minister, and as a Christian, I applaud your intent to protect our children. However, you swore to uphold the law and the Constitution of the state of Oklahoma and to serve your constituents, etc. Your zeal has fallen into the trap of so many well-meaning extremists in that you dehumanize your perceived enemies, which no doubt makes it easier to attack them because no one really quibbles about squashing bugs. In fact, I was speaking with my friend Larry Sanders earlier today talking about the definition of the word dignity, and which is exactly what the Sallies of this world attempt to take from us. If you go to Webster's Dictionary and you look up the word dignity, you'll find out that it means worthy. It means to be worthy of. Whether you are of the Christian faith or not, I think that you will agree that all human beings are created with dignity, and we all worthy, and to take that from us, to take that from any of us, is, well, because I'm at a loss for words to even tell you. It's mean-spirited, it's hateful, it is not biblical, it's ignorant. She is wrong in so many ways that it's a fact. All these things she quotes is fact. Remember we talked about the Dutch study and all the ridiculous information that comes from the Dutch study about promiscuity and all the other statistics that were quoted that are now people seem to quote as fact. These people are in a closed loop. They listen to their pastors, they listen to the Republicans, their colleagues. They're in a closed loop. They are incapable of learning anything new because they are not interested in earning or learning anything new. Ignorance is something that they treasure because it keeps them safe. Keeps them safe from anything that might change the world. These people are constantly kicking and screaming into the future. It is people like you, Sally, who makes the murder of the 15-year-old boy in Oxnard, California, possible, Sally. It is you, Sally, who makes the murder of another teenager in Fort Lauderdale, possible, Sally. May God forgive you. I don't. Of course, I'm obligated to do so. I follow the brown-skinned carpenter we call Yeshua, but for right now, Sally, let's just use the old expression of being on fire and wouldn't throw water. The very idea. We'll be talking about Sally more tomorrow evening when we have our guest Scott Hall, who is one of our straight allies. He is an expert of such or of a sort on people like Sally, on people who hate, and on people who keep this cycle of violence going. And well, enough about that. We'll continue with that tomorrow evening. And what we want to do now is do something a little more pleasant. We all are weary of discussing these hate speech, ignorant people. They believe every word. God help us. In any case, we can head over to the gay bar across the street for a little break. We sometimes refer to it as God's Little Gay Bar. And we sometimes refer to it as the Paradise Dance Hall. And tonight our DJ across the street is Mr. Larry Sanders, manning the turntables. Larry Sanders of MorningstarMelody.com, the world's most dangerous yet lovable DJ. Roll it, Bob.
Across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors.
What does it take to make me understand that all I need to do, show some love and sensitivity. Oh,
Thank you, Larry Sanders, for showing us the heart of a gay man. Gee, Sally, in Oklahoma, do you think you could be wrong? Do you think you could be making a mockery of everything that this country stands for? Gee, Sally, I think you got it wrong. I think you made a fool out of yourself. This evening, the Horn Section will be coming up right after this show at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be Bob and John. As I said earlier, I did not have my nap today, and I'm old and cranky, and so I need to bed early. So it will be John and Bob. John's show will begin at midnight for his All Foxed Up, immediately following the live Horn Section. Both programs will be live. And in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...
Musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside.